and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out them before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come humbly before your throne of grace, thanking you for this blessed opportunity again of meeting one with another, but most importantly, Lord, meeting you around your word, listening to that precious word, that word that has guided us and steered us through life, that word that also challenges us, that word that supports us. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for these blessed opportunities. We thank you for the freedom we have to come together. We pray now that you will bless the message that you've laid on my heart, that it will be meaningful to people, but also that it will challenge. Bless us abundantly, we pray, Heavenly Father, if we ask these things in through the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. In Joshua's day, people were again turning to other gods. After all that God had done for them, how many times have you heard that? After all I've done for you, that's the thanks I get. This must have been so frustrating for God. That's something that he must have felt. After all I've done for you, this is the way you treat me. It was interesting that Joshua referred twice to the gods before the flood. That was the reason for the flood. They turned to other gods at that time. They failed God. They turned their backs on him, exactly as people are doing today, turning their backs on God. And it's reflected in the passage I'm going to read from Deuteronomy. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Now, where had we heard that before? This was a covenant, an agreement between God and his people. But surely there was a covenant at the time of Abraham between God and his people. And then there was a covenant between Noah, between God and his people. And now, at Moses' day, a further agreement. Why was that necessary? Because they failed him time and time and time again. And it was necessary. How on earth God had the patience with this people? If you follow my commandments, I will raise you above all other nations. An amazing agreement. They were going to be special. They were God's chosen people. And yet they turned their back on him time and time again. You see, in our life there are choices, and that's what I'd like to focus on this evening. We have the gift of free will. We all have the gift of free will. It's a wonderful gift. But the important thing is how we use that free will. I'd like to look at three things from the passage I read. First of all, there's confirmation or testimony. Testimony is so important. It's your story. Pastor has said this so many times when we're witnessing. One of the special things that we have, one of the main tools we have in our armory, is our testimony. I have a personal testimony. You have a personal testimony. There was that occasion when You gave your life to the Lord. The difference he made in your life. And then the occasions when he has blessed you. The occasions when he's answered your prayers. Nobody can dispute that. You know, when people say, oh, how do you believe in God in this day and age? Well, in this day and age, he is as relevant now as he was 2,000 years ago. Because he is an all-powerful God. As, again, we've been reminded so often, particularly through the pandemic, he is in control. And Joshua was simply affirming his testimony. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Isn't that wonderful? Me and my house, my family. Sadly, many of us have for years prayed for other members of our family because we would rejoice in having a collective relationship within our family that's meaningful in the Lord. But he stood up in front of, in fact, the first verse of that chapter says that he called together all the tribes of Israel to Shechem. All the tribes, all the nations. He stood in front of them and gave them his testimony. I don't care what you do. You've got your choices. But as far as I'm concerned, and as far as my family's concerned, we will serve the Lord. You see, standing up for what we believe can be quite difficult in this day and age. It is so encouraging to see so many young people, and I don't want to be patronizing, but young people who stand up for the Lord. And you know, the stories we've heard about the girls girls, four of you, who were in university and the work of their Christian unions and the fact that they remain faithful to the God. Their faith is still strong. I always used to say this I always used to pray this, and I still do. You know, I am aware that young people are really in the firing line. Pressure from peer groups is amazing and absurd. You see, we are vilified very often. And it's always surprising, isn't it, that when there's any criticism of a faith, it's always the Christian faith. Not the Muslims, not the Buddhists, not the Hindus. They got some odd ideas, but as far as society is concerned, it's easier to point the finger at the Christians. You see, if you oppose same-sex marriage, you regard it as a bigot, a weirdo, living in the past. It's so important to be woke. Now, if you don't know what that means, look it up. It's so important not to be different. It's like the emperor's new clothes. The emperor walked down the street and everybody said, oh, isn't that wonderful? Pardon? Oh, these clothes are wonderful. Oh, yes, yes, they're wonderful. What do you say? His clothes are wonderful. Are they? Yes. Oh, yes, amazing. No, they're not. He's nude. Ah, I didn't like to say that. It's exactly that in society. The best example, now I don't want to be political. I'm not one to be political. But Boris Johnson. I listen incredulously. That's a lovely word, isn't it? Incredulously at some of the supporters who don't want to lose their jobs, giving support to him. I mean, it is unbelievable. Emperor's new clothes. Anyway, I'll get off my soapbox now. We have rights, you see. Yeah, we have rights. It tickles me in America. When you hear about the gun lobby It's always quoting the Second Amendment, you know, to be able to bear arms. They forget about the other amendment that says we have free speech. So we'll take the Bibles out of the schools and universities. How about free speech? Oh, it doesn't matter about that. As long as we've got our guns to protect us. And it's so sad. But after all, Joshua said a little later on in verse 22, ye are witnesses against yourselves that he had chosen the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Witnessing is sometimes very difficult, particularly on your own, handing out tracts, speaking one-to-one. It's very difficult, and possibly the most difficult of all, witnessing within the family, to family members. I don't want to simplify that and say, yeah, well, you know, you should be out there. It is difficult. But there are other ways of witnessing. Now, when we think of Joseph, there are not that many occasions when we hear of Joseph speaking words of wisdom. But he lived a life of wisdom. He served the Lord. He never turned from that straight and narrow road. Could have given in to Potiphar's wife. Nothing untoward would have happened. But the Lord would have seen it. He could have taken retribution against his brothers. Blimey, what they did to him. But he never did. And the only words that really that stick out in one's mind that Joseph said was that right at the very end, that God had done this for a purpose. There was reason behind his whole life. And that his life, the way he lived, was his testimony. In many respects, Peter, now Peter is quite an anomaly, but his life was a testimony. The fisherman, uncouth, quick-tempered, changed completely and was willing to stand on the temple steps and talk straight to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. I know because I was with the Lord. He is a bit of an anomaly. I often think of him in the Garden of Gethsemane. Here you have of this array of soldiers, temple guards, Roman soldiers. What does he do? He pulls a sword and he strikes one of them. He wasn't afraid. An hour later, he's in the kitchen and a young maid says, oh, you're one of them. No, I'm not. She frightened him out of his skin. That's a real anomaly. But thankfully, the Lord brought down his spirit upon the disciples, upon all those who were waiting after the ascension, and upon us to strengthen each and every one of us. You see, David said in one of the Psalms, Psalm 56, mine enemies would daily swallow me up, for they may be many that fight against me, O thou most high. They gather themselves together, they hide themselves, they mark my steps when they wait for my soul. But he didn't stop there. He wasn't steeped in having a pity party. He went on to say, in God have I put my trust, and I will not be afraid what man can do unto me. We can overcome all things if our faith is completely based on the Lord. That we trust him for everything. Because as Paul advised the Philippians, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You see, as with Joseph, our lives, our very lives, our behavior, our attitude can be our testimony. We're a testimony when we walk down the road with a Bible under our arm. You ask, where's he going? That's funny. on a Sunday. It's so sad, isn't it? I was saying recently to someone, Sunday has become another day of the week. And I remember my old pastor, my first pastor. And I've got to be careful what I say about him because he was John's uncle. But he was a real stickler. Frightened the living daylights out of us. There must have been about 20 of us teenagers in his church. And he frightened every one of us. And he used to come in on Sunday and he was really gloomy. How on earth he kept the church together, I don't know. But he was really dour, that's the word. And I remember him one morning saying, do you know, I came across Tom Revel this morning. What do you think? I saw someone with washing on the line on a Sunday. And that's how it was. There was respect. All right, you know, that might have been, it might have been a reason, whatever. But that was an attitude. Sunday was special. Now it's disappearing. It's been eroded gradually. And it's so, so sad. But these emanate from choices that we make. And ultimately, probably in total frustration, Joshua gave the Israelites a choice. In verse 15, as I read, he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land we dwell. Life is all about choices. What we eat, what we wear, who we socialize with, where we go. And more importantly, our walk with the Lord. Psalm 1 is one of my really favorite psalms. But it opens up in a very interesting way. It said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What it's getting at is that, and it carries on then on that theme, what he's getting at in that psalm is the fact that decisions we make have consequences. You know, where we go have consequences. Who we socialize with have consequences. I mentioned about young people and peer groups and so on. They can be have a strong influence. Many young people have drifted into drug taking because of the company they've kept, because of influence in their lives. And it is unbelievable. You know, how sad it is that so many lives have been ruined by youngsters taking that wrong turning. I'll just try it once. Oh, well, you know, cannabis isn't really addictive. You just try a little puff. And then it goes on and on and on. That road can lead to total destruction. And that's what the psalmist is saying. You know, we need to be careful. Commit your way to God. Let him direct your paths. As with the Israelites of old, do we choose the God that does so much for us? You might say, well, what has he done for me? Well, start, you know, as the youngsters, count your blessings, name them one by one. Start making a list, and you suddenly realize what God has done for you in that day, in that hour. You see, if we try to explain to people about idols, they think in terms of wooden or metal idols. But there's so many other idols in our life that replaces God. Ambition can. And I'm not saying any of these that I mentioned are wrong, but if they replace God in our lives, then they are going down that wrong path. Ambition, you know, getting up that ladder, pushing other people aside, destroying relationships, perhaps even family life. And then there's possessions. We live in a world that seems totally obsessed with possessions, the special, the latest. I remember saying to someone once, I've got an iPhone 7. iPhone 7? We're up to 10 now. Oh. And some years later, I had an iPhone 11. Oh. With a camera, all the bits and pieces. Yes, made it. Oh, the iPhone 13's out now. But that's what it's like, isn't it? The best iPad, the best game console. And it's all new. Everything is new. We must have the must-haves. The adverts make us incredible. They're so incredible. They make us feel inferior because we haven't got that one. Everyone else has, but we haven't got it. It's a must-have. So that's a lovely expression, a must-have. No, we must have God in our lives. That's a must-have. And then there's status. I remember when I was a magistrate, I was on the appointments committee, and someone came in, and we'd always ask them the first question, why do you want to be a magistrate? And this person said, oh, I'd love to have JP after my name. Pardon? I'd love to have JP after my name. All right. Next. I want it for status. And then another occasion, saw this frequently, and someone was a counselor. I remember saying to someone, excuse me, Mr. Jones. Oh, it's Councillor Jones. Oh, sorry, Councillor Jones. Oh, right, you're the person that used to deliver our milk, aren't you? Yes, I remember you, Councillor Jones. And then there's popularity, you know, the cult of popularity, having all the right things, the right makeup, the right handbags, the right dresses. I'm not talking to the boys. Seriously, making sure that we have what's up to date. And, you know, the important thing there, of course, are the blogs, aren't they? You know, people who have blogs. I've got a blog, show you how to do your eyebrows. I haven't, I mean, I'm just saying. But seriously, the must-haves in life, these become gods. These become idols for people. You see, you have so many choices in your Christian walk. Jesus warned during the Sermon on the Mount, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you may eat and what you may drink, nor yet for your body that ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? And then the crunch comes. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God above everything else. And if there's anyone here or anyone online who hasn't yet sought the Lord, it is so easy. Salvation, you see, isn't something that's specially protected and given out to special people, to good people. Salvation is a free gift, as Pastor said so many times from this pulpit. Salvation is a free gift. That's seeking the kingdom of God. And after that, the impact of that change in our lives directs the way we go. When you are saved, you don't have a to-do list or a to-don't list. To-don't? Or a don't list, don't-do list. Because many people will say to you, you've probably heard it before, oh, well, if I become a Christian, I've got to give up drink or gambling or bingo or whatever. No. When you become a Christian, you make certain decisions because of the impact the Lord has in your life. When you sought that kingdom, because you don't want to do things that might displease our Lord and Savior. And that's the important thing. It's not worrying about anyone else. Do you displease our Lord? You see, the impact of our decisions here will make an impact on our eternal life. And that's so important, our eternal life. And therefore, those choices have consequences. When Joshua realized his life was almost over, he gathered the tribes all together at Shechem, which means strength. And there he challenged them. Choose you this day whom you will serve. And that's, of course, after he went on and said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Now, he'd led them for quite a number of years. They'd seen his victories. He'd led them probably spiritually. But he couldn't live their lives for them. The same as parents can't live their lives for their children. There are times when parents despair. And I'm talking from experience. There are times when parents despair when they see their children perhaps going off the rails, making decisions that are not compatible with the life that you would like them to live. And that's what Pastor said so many times from this pulpit. Salvation is personal. It is personal. It's a decision that we have to make. And therefore, we live with the consequences. Joshua had made his choices years ago because he had wholeheartedly offered his support to Moses. He'd made a commitment to trust and obey God and had stood by that commitment. And therefore, his family had obviously followed in his footsteps. If it's for me, tell him I'm in the bath. But as the hymnist said, when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. And with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Trust, obey. That should certainly help us in overcoming our difficulties. Because time and again, we've said we're not promised an easy life. And I know I'm looking out at a congregation, all of whom haven't had an easy life. There have been issues in all of our lives, particularly over the last 2 years, where we have been desperate in many ways, where we have had burdens, where we have had tribulation. But what a joy it is when we're able to turn to the Lord in prayer. I've often thought of prayer. It's an amazing, absolutely amazing privilege that we have, which sometimes we take for granted. We are praying to the creator of the universe, in the certain knowledge that that creator has time for each and every one of us, has time for us, listens to our prayers. And I've said this time and time again, it is an absolute joy in prayer meeting to hear people relating stories of answered prayer. Time and again, answered prayer. Praise the Lord for answered prayer. You see, it is something that we do almost as a reflex when we're in trouble. But it's something that we should be doing every day, preparing our day, asking God to guide us through that day, asking God to protect us through that day, delving into his word to see what he has for us, getting together like this to see what messages he has to tell us. It's so, so important. Selwyn Hughes said this once, prayer often begins in trouble, and it continues because we're always in trouble at some level. It requires no special preparation, no precise vocabulary, no appropriate posture. It springs from us in the face of necessity, and in time becomes our habitual response to every issue, good and bad, that we face in this life. I like that phrase, habitual response. That's what we do. That's the first thing we do. David was a great believer in prayer. In Chronicles 14, he says, "And David inquired of God, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into mine hand?' And the Lord said unto him, 'Go up, for I will deliver them into you. Into thine hand.'" Now we're talking about David, the great leader, the great warrior, who had, and at this point, had won many, many, many battles. But he was going into battle again. And rather than saying to God, "Right, God, I've got this plan now. I just want you were okay with it." No, he sought God. What should I do? And that's how he went on many occasions. What should I do? And God answered him. You see, there's another occasion where he said, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me." He gave ear unto me. How often do we cry to the Lord? We hear about the occasion, as it's recorded in John, where Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane and sweat beads of blood. It was so intense. Have we ever been intense in our prayer life? Have we ever cried out in our prayer life? Have we ever shed tears in our prayer life? Scriven, the hymnist, wrote, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And it is a privilege, isn't it? I think what's wonderful, and this church is very special in that respect, is that we pray for each other. And we let each other know that we're praying. For, I've said this many times. Having been the recipient of those messages just before you're due to go into the operating theater, or when you're feeling really down, like ping, you look at it, "I'm praying for you." That's wonderful. I'm praying for you. And it is so encouraging. But when it comes to prayer, it's still all about priorities. Do we prioritize our prayer life? Is it important? Is it the most important event of the day? Or do we do it in the car on the way to work? or as we're rushing out to get our shopping or whatever. And finally, in that passage, Joshua said, we will serve the Lord. Now, that's an interesting word that he chose. Now, it didn't say we will follow the Lord. We will be supporters of the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Our duty as Christians is to be, as the word means, as it was put forward in Antioch, Christ-like, to be Christ-like in our behavior, in our attitudes, and to spread that gospel message in whatever way we possibly can. After all, when Christ was about to leave us, as far as Matthew is concerned, his final words were, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. What encouraging words. I am with you always. But that's a command to each and every one of us. Not to keep this secret that we have, but to spread it further and further afield. And in this, as I mentioned earlier, in this day and age, it is so, so important. It really is so important. You see, I don't know, when I look at the news, it just fills me with despair. Absolute despair. The horror. I don't know. Perhaps it's me. I'm getting the sound like my mother when I was your age. But seriously, you know, there are things that I hear that as a youngster, I can't remember ever hearing about. Perhaps they happened and we didn't know about it. But there are certain things that are happening now which are horrific. When parents kill their children, when you see the photos of them, they're the most beautiful youngsters you could imagine. How on earth is that acceptable in this so-called advanced society we live in? And the frequency of people being, particularly in high positions, sexual assault, pedophilia. It is so. Members of Parliament, sexual assault. Why has our society come to this? Why aren't people standing up and saying, that's not good enough? That level of behavior is not good enough. We've drifted and drifted and drifted into the state that Sodom was in when it was destroyed. The state that Rome was in. Rome wasn't destroyed because their soldiers weren't good enough anymore. It was a moral decline, a total moral decline. And we are heading into such an abysmal moral decline. God, I'm not going to listen to him anymore. He's really depressing. He's really depressing. But seriously, it is frightening. And it is so important that the Bible becomes the center of attention. The fact that we have a God who is willing to pull us out of this mire that we are in. You see, Corrie ten Boom once said, the experiences of our lives, when we let God use them, become the mysterious and perfect preparation for the work he will give us to do. because of our experiences. It is really important that we serve the Lord. We use our talents. We use our experiences. We use our knowledge. We use our time. But most importantly, we live lives to serve Him effectively and be an example to others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we come before your throne of grace, aware that each and every one of us has shortcomings, Lord. You do so much for us. And time and again, we oftentimes fail you. Help us to be the evangelists, to be the ambassadors that you would have us be, to make that stand in this difficult world, Heavenly Father. One knows it's easy to say and hard to do. But if we don't do it, Heavenly Father, who will? Be with us, strengthen us, each and every one of us. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And shall we stand to sing our final hymn? There is coming a day where no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. And we'll stand to sing.
pray now, Lord, that thou would dismiss us with thy blessing. Mm-hmm. Help us to meditate upon those things that thou put upon our heart, Lord, mm-hmm. that we might go forth in the week ahead, leaping and praising thee, yeah. in the hope that others would see something of Jesus in us, that those who do yet not know thee might find that narrow path to Jesus, mm-hmm. for the days are short, Lord. Amen. Thank thee, Lord, for the witness that was in the town centre yesterday. Mm-hmm. When I stopped and inquired, there was a concern. They said, well, look at the state of the world. For sure, our redemption must be drawing nigh. Mm-hmm. We must be out telling others Amen. That we need to come to Jesus. So help us, Lord, to go forth in the week ahead, having a small witness for thee, that others might come to know that name, and God would have all the glory.